First and Goal Show with your hosts, Lou Landers and Mike Stromey.
Welcome to the Thanksgiving 2020 special edition of the First and Goal Show. I'm Lou Landers, joined by Mike Stromey. Today, we're taking a look at the Thanksgiving Day games, the DFS slate, betting lines for all three games as well. You can subscribe to the First and Goal Show via the Sports Crew Radio Network on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Bringing in my co-host, Mr. Stromey here. And last Thanksgiving, Mike, you took home quite the payday. So why don't you share your strategies, what you like to do in these smaller slates?
Yeah, so first of all, gobble gobble, you all you jive turkeys out there. Hopefully Thanksgiving is good to all of our listeners here at the Sports Crew Radio Network. But yeah, last Thanksgiving, I was able to take runner-up in the Buckle Belt, or the Belt Dollar, or Belt Buck, or whatever it's called. The $1 max entry, 20 max, 197,000 entries. I took second place, and a big reason why that was because I was able to get essentially contrarian value, and you can find that in a three-game slate and have it pay off much better than a main slate because there are so many limited options, because a lot of, for lack of a better term, novice players will play this slate just because it is Thanksgiving and, you know, it's something to do. You might think that's like with Thanksgiving and the Super Bowl, you'll get a lot of novice money in there. So a lot of ownership will be skewed a little bit more. What I was able to do was I was able to successfully stack the early game, which was Lions Bears. Had Mitch Trubisky, had Kenny Golladay, had Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson to go along with Mitch Trubisky. It was the lowest total on the board, and it was also the early game, so I was able to get a good 80 points out of those four, and I think it was closer to 85 or 90 because I did have David Montgomery in there as well, which allowed me to, and if you remember, the highest total on the board was the Saints Falcons, and that game underperformed. I was able to take the savings with the contrarian values in the lower owned game, in the lower owned lower total game. I was able to pivot onto guys like Zeke. I was able to get Alvin Kamara, who was a high volume contrarian pivot over the chalk that was Michael Thomas, along with the Saints defense in the higher scoring game.
So well, the lowest total for this week is the Ravens and the Steelers,
which makes that a little bit trickier.
Yes, definitely a little different, although the Cowboys and football team are only a point and a half higher. That might end up being the lower scoring because you just don't trust either team's offense all that much at this point. But let's get into the DFS side of things before we break down the gambling side more. Pretty much just each of us have a lineup here for tonight. Of course, if you want more lineups, more information, you can come find us, Mike. Give your Twitter handle out for people if they want to talk to you prior to setting all their lineups.
Yeah, so if you just want to follow me at Stromey_93, that's Stromey_93. Not nearly as active on Twitter as I used to be, ironically enough. I should get better at that. But, yeah, if you want to give me a follow there, I usually post a thing or two. Maybe I'll start posting more of my plays going forward. But, you know, only so many hours in a day, I really got to learn to take more time on that. But, yeah, you can give me a follow there, and we'll see what happens.
Definitely, and you can also, of course, follow me at Landers Talks, and you can comment on any of the posts that will have this show. But getting to it, I'll start. My quarterback is going to be Deshaun Watson, 7,400 at Detroit. Definitely the chalk play quarterback, but I'm not really afraid of that. Highest ceiling, probably the best matchup dual threat. We're kind of worth every penny at this point. It's picking the right non-chalk guys in the rest of the lineup. It's kind of going to make or break me anyway. I'm guaranteeing at least 25 points from Deshaun Watson, and I could see a lot more than that versus a very weak Lions defense. At running back, I'm going high and I'm going low. I'm going to go with Zeke and Gus Edwards. Zeke coming off best rushing day of his entire season. He's the one running back on this slate that will have a guaranteed workload, not just be on the field, a la Duke Johnson, Mike, but a guaranteed a workload. Also very affordable considering the name Zeke Elliott at just $6,800. And then we got Gus Edwards, who's become a very interesting cheap play at just $4,000 because he's the only active Ravens running back who's had a carry this year with both Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins on the COVID list. Matchup not great, but as we talked about off the top, the total is actually the lowest. People might be afraid of Gus Edwards against this vaunted Steelers defense. That could end up helping you more than hurting you in a slate like this, though. Mike, your quarterback and running backs.
Yeah, so you mentioned that Deshaun Watson was going to be the chalk, and it's no coincidence that you'll see him at 50, 60, maybe even 70% ownership. But yeah, I think he can get that high in certain slates. Could get showdown as when it comes to Deshaun, given the fact that he accounted for 88% of the total yards for the Houston Texans last week against the New England Patriots. Not disputing that he's not a bad play, but if I want to really take down this slate, I'm going to have to look to get contrarian at some places. And if you are looking to fade Deshaun Watson, you could, and I mean could, look at Lamar Jackson. However, I don't really trust the auxiliary pieces around him. So we're going to look at the middle game with the Washington football team, and I'm going to go with Alex Smith, who has shown in his return that he can reach the 300-yard mark. He did it against the Detroit Lions in a dome a couple of weeks ago. Only got to 166 last week, but he has shown that he can return value, and I don't think a lot of people will be looking to go that way, just given the fact that him and and Matthew Stafford and Andy Dalton are similarly priced-ish. You might see a little less ownership on that. So then we run it back with Ezekiel Elliott, and I know that's chalk there, but I'm going to gladly eat that because I think he is the only running back on this slate that is guaranteed 20 touches. I know he's not the Zeke of old, but we're going to take the 6,800 with Zeke there. And Duke Johnson at 5,700 seems a little bit pricey for a guy that doesn't like to go between the tackles at all. But the Houston Texans just don't rotate their backs in at all. And I've literally seen him on the field for 95% of a game before. And if in a slate where the running back position is a little bit unpredictable, I'm going to take a guy that in a high game total who's just not going to leave the field.
More than fair. I was kind of, playing with you when I was making my point about Zeke and playing with you with Duke. But, I mean, yes, he may not get as many touches, but being on the field is almost half the battle at this point. You don't
can't
have to be good if
on
you
the
get
bench,
the
though.
Opportunity.
Can't score points on the bench.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to give you wide receivers and my flex play. My wide receivers are Deontay Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Terry McLaurin. Flex play is CeeDee Lamb. So with Deontay Johnson, 16, 11, and 10. Can you guess what those numbers are, Mike? Those are the targets he's had in the past 3 weeks. He is seeing the ball an awful lot in this offense. He's the safest bet of all the Steelers wide receivers. He's had some monster games this year. Really, the only downfall has been the sporadic injuries, but he's healthy right now. He's $6,200 on this slate. And again, going with that game that people think is going to be lower scoring. Brandon Cooks, since week 5, has been the most consistent wide receiver for the Texans. He's seen at least 8 targets in every game since then, with the exception of week 11. That was due to the fact that the Texans actually had a lead for once and for most of the game. Typically, you don't see the Texans in that situation. He's just $5,300, and he's the guy I'm going to pair with Deshaun Watson. Terry McLaurin, most expensive wide receiver on the slate. Maybe the most expensive player, that's not a quarterback, on this slate, but it puts up double-digit points every single week, essentially. The 1 week he didn't, he was matched up with Jalen Ramsey. I mean, that's going to happen to a lot of people against Jalen Ramsey this year. He's a clear number one in Washington. Cowboys have been very kind to wide receivers this season all year long, including McLaurin himself, who had 7 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown when they met in week 7. And that came with Washington leading from start to finish, winning the game 25-3. This game's going to be a lot closer. I think McLaurin going to see double-digit targets again against a very beatable Cowboys pass defense. And finally, at the flex, I mentioned CeeDee Lamb. He's 5,400. Most consistent wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, no matter who the quarterback is. And that's a bigger deal than you'd think if you haven't been paying attention. The Cowboys have had 4 starting quarterbacks this season. They use CeeDee Lamb in a lot of different formations, packages. They even used him running the football a little bit. And as a bonus, in a slate like this, it's interesting. He plays on special teams. He could always run one back. If you happen to pair him with the Cowboys' defense, let's say, a special teams touchdown could be a touchdown for Lamb and a touchdown for your defense on a slate like this, especially a slate like this. That can be gold, Jerry. Gold, Jerry. That's a Seinfeld reference for you, Mr. Strohmate. Let's hear your wide receivers and your flex.
Yeah, so like I said, with this particular lineup, I'm going to go with Alex Smith at quarterback. The first receiver I'm going to take is, I get it. He's the most he's the most expensive price on the board. He has definitely the most, the highest floor among everybody on this board, and I think his ceiling is just about unmatched as well. And I've been pimping this guy since preseason. There isn't a slate where I don't take Terry McLaurin. He is head and shoulders above just about everybody else on this slate, not only in talent and ability, but in targets and in total snaps. I know he was a little bit limited earlier in the week as far as practice is concerned. It's a newer injury, so maybe the Q tag and the price tag can kind of drive down his ownership just a little bit. But putting him with Alex Smith will give you that little extra differentiation in your lineups, just due to the fact that I don't think Alex Smith will be highly owned. But I do love Terry McLaurin. And the next two wide receivers I really want to talk about here, as far as getting a little bit contrarian, if we're going to go chalk with McLaurin, if we're going to go chalk with Ezekiel Elliott, why not? And I know it's a bit of a long shot for him to play, but I know if Kenny Golladay is active, he's going to get basically the volume that he normally gets, because I don't think they would run him out there on a short week if he wasn't 100% ready to go. And if he is, I guarantee you will get him at anywhere between 5% ownership would be the absolute tops. I had him last year with Mr. Blau. That name again. It's Mr. Blau. He caught a 50-yard touchdown right off the hop. Got my Thanksgiving off to a tremendous start. And if he's not active, that's fine. Take him out. Throw in Marvin Jones. The same theory applies there. Those are the two. One of those guys, if Golladay is active, he's going to see hit. And if Marvin Jones is in, he's going to be next man up. That's going to be that late slot there. And one of those guys will definitely return value there and could very well break this way, along with another guy I want to run him back with. And me and Lou were talking a little bit about this on off air a little bit as to who would be the lesser owned between Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller. And it makes sense to think that Will Fuller would be the guy that would garner more ownership. But I've been consistently playing both of these guys, and I've been looking back at on main slate GPPs, and it's mostly been actually Brandon Cooks at about 10% with Will Fuller at about 5%. And if you look at both of these guys, yes, Brandon Cooks is the safer bet to get you 5 grabs, 80 yards, and a score. But we've seen Will Fuller go off for like 8 to 10 grabs, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Not saying that that's that ability, but I don't see that out of Brandon Cooks. The price tag is going to drive down the ownership a little bit too, because you're going to want to get your Steelers guys. You're going to want to get Terry McLaurin. You're going to get one of one of the Dallas guys as well. There's just not enough mouths to feed, where I think Fuller might get overlooked a little bit. and we might see him at a little bit of a dip in ownership, and he's definitely somebody that can totally break this slate open.
That makes a lot of sense from a differentiation standpoint. I mean, I think if you're making one lineup, then I think maybe Fuller is the way to go, but I would have a share of both of them. They might have a share of Golladay, and with Jones, they might have one share of probably Claypool and one with Deontay Johnson. I'd want, you know, one share of Lamb, one share of Cooper, et cetera, et cetera. The only team where there's only one guy I'm looking at is McLaurin and Washington. And with Baltimore, I don't want any of their wide receivers. However, I do want their tight end. At first, I had Dobbins in at running back, and that wouldn't have allowed me to pay up for Mark Andrews. I had Logan Thomas at tight end, but after moving Edwards to the running back, I did have enough money to use Andrews. And I know the matchup isn't great, but again, I take you to that total being low. And Andrews is the one weapon on the Ravens team that is a focal point every single week. There might not be a ton of upside with his price and his matchup, but he's the only tight end I feel safe about not having a complete dud on this slate. The rest are complete flyers. I don't trust any of them to do anything any given week the way I do with Mark Andrews. And on defense, I'm looking to pay down. I'm looking really at only using either the Texans or the Cowboys. The reason why I'm using the Texans here is price, but also as much as we've talked about Stafford here, Mike, he does have an injured hand. He could be down Golladay. He could be down Swift. And if he's without both of those players, it's going to make this Lions offense very one-dimensional because they can't run the football with Adrian Peterson or Kerryon Johnson. And they'll be without Golladay, potentially Amendola, who missed last week as well. I think that's going to lead to problems. We saw their problems last week. They were shut out by a very average defense, in my opinion, in the Carolina Panthers. So I can see the Texans actually being a surprise defense on this slate if everything falls the way that it could with those injuries to the Lions team. If not, you might want to look elsewhere.
Yeah, I'll touch on defense in a second here, but I'll start at the tight end position here. And while, Lou, you're a little bit, you don't really like the tight end position, I don't. I'm usually looking at Kelce. I'm usually looking at Kittle when he's healthy. I'm looking at Darren Waller. I'm looking at guys that can get me, you know, that high floor of volume that you just don't really see at the tight end position. I'm usually one to normally pay up. On a slate like this, where there's so many guys that are basically just, you know, four grabs, 40 yards, and a score, I think there are a lot of different ways to essentially skin a duck or skin a turkey, if you will. But I'm going to go with Dalton Schultz at the tight end position at 3,800 for this particular lineup. I like Logan Thomas. I like, you know, I could go Logan Thomas as well. I think Eric Ebron has seen quite a bit of an uptick in target share as well, which is kind of surprising given that all three Steeler receivers are very fantasy viable. Like that's just an offense where everybody's eating. But if I go with Dalton Schultz, it'll kind of sort of, you know, actually forget that. I'm just going to go with Logan Thomas. I know he's a little bit chalkier, but with Alex Smith there, you get that little bit of an extra edge. Because you know, I expect Terry McLaurin to be highly owned. I expect Logan Thomas to be highly owned because he's been kind of like a fantasy hipster guy for most of the year, just given his targets and usage, and it just hasn't panned out. But with Alex Smith there. So we're going to go with Logan Thomas for sure, tight end position. Now, this is where paying attention to your lineups and paying attention to how your lineups are constructed are really going to play into effect with the flex. It's not just a spot where you throw the extra guy in your lineup you like. In a slate like this, and you apply this to the main slate as well, but on a smaller slate like this, it is absolutely crucial. Because if you have a lineup like, say, Duke Johnson has a good day, returns volume. Say Ezekiel Elliott does what we expect him to do. Say Terry McLaurin hits his floor, but you have Marvin Jones, or Kenny Golladay, whomever, whichever Detroit receiver you play in this lineup, if they go off and have a good day and Will Fuller goes off and has his ceiling, play James Conner. He's guaranteed to get his work. You know, as long as that Baltimore Ravens defensive line is still banged up, as long as Brandon Williams is still out, as long as Calais Campbell is still out, which is it's on a short week, they're not going to be 100% anyways. Play with James Conner. If for whatever reason, you know, Kenny Golladay doesn't work out, Will Fuller leaves with a hamstring injury or just doesn't perform, or Duke Johnson gets hurt, or one of those contrarian plays don't work, late swap. Take out James Conner and then play roulette with one of the Steeler receivers because they're all 6,200 or under. Pick your poison with one of those guys. The least owned guy I think will be Juju Smith-Schuster, although I know he's a little bit banged up as he left that game early. I think if the Jags were still in the game, he would be playing. But you know, they had the game in hand. It was a short week coming up. They knew that they can just pull him out of there. He'll be the least owned. Late swap onto either Juju Claypool or Deontay Johnson, whomever you prefer, and hope for one of those guys to break the slate that way. And then when it comes to defense, unfortunately, there's just not a lot of good plays out there, to be completely honest with you. Washington is you have Washington, you have Pittsburgh, who are the two highest in adjusted sack rate on the year. Great plays, but they're 3,700 and 4,200. So if you really want to have the ideal lineup that you need, you're not going to be playing the higher owned defenses. So unfortunately for me, I'm mostly just going to be plugging my nose and holding the best. With this particular lineup, we're going to play Houston, just due to the fact that I only have one line in the lineup.
Makes sense as well. I have no Lions in this lineup, which is another reason why Houston is kind of where
another
I was.
Another day with no Lions.
Yes, 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 yes. Betting preview. Betting a time, folks. So, Texans, Lions. Texans are 3-point favorites on the road here. And neither team can play much defense. We know that. Really going to come down to which team can score more points. And if that's the determining factor, which in my opinion it is, I'm taking the Texans. I like everything about their offense compared to that of the Lions. The Lions, of course, also could be very beat up with all of their players. Stafford's thumb, Golladay, Amendola, Swift, etc., etc. I think the Texans put up big time points and come away with actually a fairly easy win, Mike. I'm not saying it's going to be like a 14-point win, but I really think they strike early and strike often with Deshaun Watson against his really, really bad Lions defense.
Yeah, I'm on the Texans as well. It's the only real game I feel super strong about on Thanksgiving. And honestly, in Week 12 in general, there is a lot of sharp numbers this week. But I was able to grab the Houston Texans at -2.5 earlier in the day. So I'm going to be riding with that. I also grabbed the Houston Texans team total over 26.5. I do like the over in this game. I do think it'll be right around 51.5. But I'm just a little bit unsure if the Lions can keep up their end of the bargain, to be completely honest. I think it might fall short. So jumped in on the 26.5. That's probably going to go up closer to kickoff. So I would grab both those numbers. We've already seen a Houston -3 out there as well. So if you like these numbers, get them now. But that's kind of where I'm rolling. I also don't have a problem with the money line at -145, I think it was. I think it's up to -1. Yeah, it's pushing -160 now. So I like the Texans, get in on it now.
All right. How about the football team? The football team from Washington, that is, taking on the Cowboys, a football team in Dallas, for those who don't know. The Cowboys are 3-point favorites here. And believe it or not, Mike, the winner of this game will take over first place in the NFC East with a record of 4-7. Yes, it's laughable, but I will say this. The Andy Dalton-led Cowboys looked a lot better in Week 11 than they did pre-bye week. And their talent is still greater certainly offensively than that of the Washington football team, with this game being played in Dallas. The momentum the Cowboys had after beating a hot Vikings team on the road last week has me leaning towards the Dallas Cowboys. As much as their defense has been beaten this year, they do have a pass rush that can get after the quarterback. Alex Smith is not the same mobile quarterback he once was. That could also be a difference maker. I'm taking the Cowboys to win by three or more, Mike.
Yeah, this is another game where I don't really have a lean on the game per se. I think I'd lean Washington if I'm being completely honest. And it's just because I love what that defensive front is going to be able to do. And Andy Dalton has shown over the last decade in the NFL that he's prone to turning over the ball. So that's where I lean if you need to take in the game. But if you really want to cap this game, ignore the point spread, ignore the money line, ignore all of that. If you listened to me a couple of weeks ago when I told you to take the Dallas Cowboys at 8-9-1 during their bye week to win this division, you're sitting pretty and you have an excellent opportunity to hedge. If the Washington football team wins this, they've swept the Dallas Cowboys. They have that edge in the division. They take the lead in the division with 5 weeks to go, and they're plus 350 to win the division right now. If you like Washington in this game, take Washington. If you already have some Dallas futures, take Washington at plus 350 to win the division, because they will have the stranglehold. If not, if you like Dallas to win this game, take them at plus 225 to win the division. You still get a decent number there. And then each way you have plus money. Like with these divisional games early, like at this point in the year, you're almost better off taking a shorter price on the future than you are the game. I had this opportunity with the Rams when they played the Seattle Seahawks. I think they were favored by about 2 points a couple of weeks ago. Pre-game, they were 4-1 to win the NFC East. They now lead the NFC East 2 weeks later.
And NFC West, but yeah.
The NFC West, sorry.
I know your mind was on the NFC East because of the game.
I'm just saying, if you like the game, you're almost throwing money away betting the actual game. You might as well look at the futures. You have to wait about another month or so, but that's nice money you can have for the playoffs or Christmas.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice differentiated take. I think I just kind of made up a word in that sentence. I know differentiated is a word, but I definitely didn't necessarily use it correctly. Either way, everyone knows what I mean. Ravens and Steelers, final game for Thanksgiving. Hopefully we get this game. Of course, there is some COVID scares going on. But ultimately, Steelers are 4-point favorites right now. It did open up at 3.5. Doesn't matter to me, at least. I think the Steelers, as an undefeated team versus a Ravens team that isn't even in the playoffs right now in the AFC, is not that much of a football game. The Ravens defense is banged up. The offense is missing Ingram and Dobbins. And it's really a far cry from what we saw from the Ravens last year. Steelers, they're firing on all cylinders. These two teams typically do play close games. In fact, the first meeting this year in Baltimore was close. It came down to the final seconds. But this time around, although it might be close again, I expect the same result with the Steelers to come out on top again. They are a better team. They are playing better currently. They have the benefit of playing at home on a short week. And they are healthy compared to a Ravens team that is not playing good, that seems lost at the moment, and is a road team on a short week. If I'm betting on this game, if I'm betting the betting line, I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, these two teams played about a month ago in Baltimore. Pittsburgh took that game 28-24, and I could be wrong, but I think they had a couple of substantial turnovers in that game. I'm just going to pull up the box. I know for sure they had a pick six, because I gave the Steelers money line as one of my my money line locks have been unbelievable the last few weeks. You guys really got to listen to the Main Slate Show. Both me and Lou have been crushing it there. 2-2 this week with the Titans on the money line as my lock last week. But yeah, we're looking at it. I just, long story short, it's a divisional game. It's a game that the Steelers were able to pull away. Baltimore had a 10-point lead at the half. I think it comes down to a field goal. I think the world's going to be on Pittsburgh. They're going to see that 10-0. They're going to see all the negativity surrounding the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, what's up with Lamar Jackson? Has the league figured out Lamar Jackson? It's NFC North, man. It's Ravens Steelers. It's going to be a close game. What, any way you slice it, I'm better off taking the points with the Ravens.
All right, we'll have to see which one of us comes out on top with that one. Obviously, Mike, fun to do these smaller slate shows, Thanksgiving special, and our regular scheduled programming still going to be airing this week as well. Of course, that's our betting preview on a Wednesday, the DFS show on a Thursday. Any final thoughts here?
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving, and I thought I'd give the people another little surprise. Not really a big teaser player, to be honest. Not really big on... I'm more of a parlay guy. I'll throw my change on something that I kind of sort of like for outrageous odds and just kind of have fun with it. So we're going to do that with a teaser on this slate as well. It's the season for giving, so why not throw another teaser? It's a 7-point tease, 5-leg teaser. We're going to tease the over in Detroit, Houston to 44.5. We're going to tease the Washington football team up to plus 10. We're going to tease the Dallas-Washington game to over 39.5. Tease the Ravens up to, I believe I had 11.5 with over 38 in the late game as well. Pays 350, 7-point tease. Those are always fun on Thanksgiving, right?
Hell, I mean, if you're looking for some, excitement, why not follow those bets? Again,
if you're looking for excitement, you're definitely listening.
Yes. Again, I believe it's Strohmy_93 on Twitter. Strohmy_93 at Alanders Talks. Subscribe to the First and Goal Show via the Sports Crew Radio Network, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. I'm Lou Landers. That's Mike Strohmy. Happy holidays, everybody. Enjoy your turkey. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your family. Enjoy whatever it is you do on Thanksgiving. Take care, everybody. Yeah.